Two Pirelli tyres walk into a pub. They see a rather nasty looking man at the bar. One of the tyres turns to the medium tyre and says, I reckon I could have him in a fight. So the medium tyre turns to his friend and goes, ooh, you're odd. Now, I don't know if I need to tell you or not, but that is a Nate Saunders original.
Nate, no!
Oh, shit,
we were going to get the score, and then we were going to tell him that it was an original.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, we literally discussed that in Austin. No, so yeah. Lawrence, that's an original joke I found on PirelliJokes.com. Someone else wrote it, if you could score it.
And that was the second attempt for you to get through it, because Lawrence was already laughing the second you mentioned two Pirelli tyres walking into the bar.
Just said rolling in. Just said rolling in.
They roll in, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, Nate, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm giving you a 10 for that. I freaking
yes!
loved it.
Yes! That's amazing. I didn't think I was going to get 10.
But now you will forever go to your grave wondering if that 10 is because he knew it was an original
Nate joke.
I don't mind.
I'm going to tell my grandkids the 10 first, and they can ask that question if they need to. A 10! Would you have given it if it wasn't original? If it wasn't an original Nate Saunders joke?
Yeah, I think I would have done that as well.
Excellent.
I genuinely just loved it. Like, I can't remember the last time I've cried at a joke.
I mean, so genuinely, I wrote that in Austin, just like on the plane, because I was quite bored on the way there. And I was like, that's actually quite funny. Would you like to hear some of the ones that were less funny that I wrote?
Yes, please.
Okay. And bear in mind, these can't ruin the 10. I've already got the 10. Okay.
That's locked in. Don't worry. It's locked
okay,
in.
Okay, good. Where does Lewis Hamilton stay when he goes on holiday? Whichever hotel has the best fans.
That's not bad.
It's not too
That's
bad,
good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. How does Lance Stroll get to the shops? Clue in the name there. He gets his chauffeur to pick him up. See what I did? Little went the other way. Went away from where you thought it was going to be. what did Franz Tost say to Jesus after he found out Jesus has been dead for 3 days? Clear your desk, Jesus. You're fired. That's a joke about that's a joke about Franz Tost not respecting people in the calendar. That's good. This is my favorite one because this is genuinely very bad, but also very funny. Okay, you ready, Laz? This could be a 20 out of 10 or a 0 out of 10. It could be one or the other. Which F1 circuit would a clever sparrow take his girlfriend to propose? The Nürburgring. So it was a productive flight to Austin.
Oh, you peaked. Nate, it's been an honor working with you.
This has been a standout episode. Already we've got a 10. I think all of those were like solid, like 5+, I think.
Oh, you probably should have saved them for the following week.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like it, you know, we were on a roll. You know, people wanted to hear them.
Oh my word. We can call it there. I don't think we're gonna get any better than this.
That might be it. You're right, I probably should save some of them. I've got a few more. I'll save a few more.
Oh no, maybe. What a flight. You need to go flying more often.
I think I do.
I think I do. Comes out.
It's when United Airlines, it was middle of the day, but they turned all the lights down. And it was really weird because you're like, oh, what time is it? That's when the creative juices started flowing. So if you're ever struggling, turn all your lights down, forget what time it is, and
use yourself.
Be in the air for like 10 hours. Easy. So yeah. What was your favorite of the rejected jokes, Laz?
The last one.
Yeah. I think that is great. It's just so stupid.
It's just so stupid. It's just so funny.
I think I'd have given that one a 10. That would be a full marker as well. You've wasted two 10s in one pod.
I rolled them all out because Laz has already given me the 10. I was like, look, you know, if I've written one 10, I can write another one, right?
Wow.
The confidence it gave you. I love it.
You're creating an absolute monster here, Laz.
Yeah, but the good kind of funny monster.
like the cookie monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the honey monster.
The honey monster. Those are two kind of good, actually, I'd say good monsters. Please do tweet in at the Paddock with your favourite monster. Anyway, we should probably talk about some F1, shouldn't we?
Welcome to The Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Barreto, senior writer at F1.com.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders from ESPN.
And who just got an email?
That would be me.
Outrageous. Unbelievable.
So busy. Mr. F1, so busy.
Well, you know me. Many jobs, not master at none.
Not master at none?
No, great hang word, on. Dude. No. I mean,
he's just so modest as well.
Jet lag, I'm saying. I'm blaming jet lag. Guys, I'll struggling. Take that. I'm struggling so much with jet lag.
You're master of jet lag as well. That's impressive. That's very impressive. I was saying to Meadows before you arrived, Lazar, that I think I've solved jet lag. I don't think I get it anymore. I think I'm immune. So going out there, probably because I wrote those jokes, I then, Lawrence Edmondson and I drove to Gonzales, Texas, got there pretty late, passed out straight away, slept like 11 till 8. And then all week I was fine. I woke up a couple of times. And then coming back, I got some, I think it's called ZZZ Quill. I don't know how you say it. Z-Quill or Z-Quill.
Z-Quill.
Z-Quill. Well, that's not as fun. But got some of that. And last night managed to stay awake until about 10. Popped one of those bad boys. It was like someone had sedated me. It was like, you know, like in nature programs where they're like, tranquilize a bear. That's what happened. I was just out. They could have done anything to me. Could have hunted me.
Actually what had happened is you sedated yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. But I could have, like, yeah, I suppose that is literally what happened. But I felt like I'd been sedated. And then I woke up at 9:30 this morning. I feel great.
Today on the Paddock, Nate Saunders understands what a sleeping tablet is.
I thought it was just a nice little capsule. But
the blue pill or the red pill? It's a purple pill, isn't it?
It was purple, yeah. So so it was pretty good. I'd recommend that to anyone. But Lazar,
are you recommending drugs?
No, not drugs. Tranquilizers. Tranquilizers. bear grade tranquilizer darts. But sorry to rub that into you guys, but I'm feeling fine.
That's okay. Well, I'm pleased for you, Nate.
Thanks, mate.
I'm not. I hate you. although I'm back a day later than you guys, so I landed this morning, and it was a hectic journey, which included a travel tale of woe very briefly, but there's some very strong winds in the northeast of the States. And when I left Atlanta, we'll get to why I was there later, but when I left Atlanta, everything was on time. It was going to be an hour and 40 flight. And then we were just holding near Washington, where I was trying to go to, for an hour, just circling, because they had a lot of congestion and problems. And we were apparently 5 minutes away from diverting to Raleigh in North Carolina, because we were going to run out of fuel. But then just at the last minute, they said, oh yeah, okay, come on in and land. So we landed late and I walked straight off the plane, straight along the concourse, straight onto the next flight back to London. Which was also delayed leaving and stuff. But yeah, I got back today, got a few hours sleep, then turned my alarm off and got a few more and woke up at 1:30 and definitely am not going to sleep well tonight. But
oh no.
I've got to tell that's my tale of woe, Barreto. It sounds like you struggled last night as well.
Yeah, I went to sleep all right. It was just I woke up really early, which is the opposite of what I'm supposed to do, right? You're supposed to struggle to get to sleep and then wake up late.
Yes, you are weird.
But that didn't happen to me.
Or you drug yourself. That's the other option.
Well, I've learned my lesson here. I knew there was a reason why I did this podcast, Nate.
Yeah, it's going on my sleeping tablet podcast that I do every every Thursday.
Not another podcast.
Like, yeah, I'm just busy.
Do anything else?
I'm a busy man. Busy.
I'm a bit
man.
Disappointed that you didn't end up at the Santa Museum, Nate.
No, so I mean, I was going to reveal that, but that's fine. You've taken the. You've given me a 10 out of 10. You can take my, steal my thunder. We went to a beer brewery instead, which to me is much better than the Santa Museum because Santa, you know, Christmas kind of, you know, is overrated a little bit until you get to Christmas Day itself. Don't at me. That's just what I think. Okay.
Admittedly, beer is more of an all round.
Beer you can have like, all year and especially on Christmas. With Santa, like, you know, it's good for maybe 10 days. 15th December, I'll watch a Santa movie.
No, I put all three of my Christmas trees up on December 1st.
You have three?
Yep, I do.
Why three? What's the significance of three? Is that an ode to Danny Rick? Dale Earnhardt?
No, just because I like to fill my house with Christmas trees and over the years I've just bought more.
Wow. I've got one that the guy who owned this flat before I bought it left here. So going to open that on the 15th and see what's inside. Could be anything.
and it's a real one.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I literally don't know what's going to be in there. I should probably check that before I dust it down and open it up.
Just knock. Just make sure.
Yeah. That's probably where the voices are coming from in that one.
Well, before we actually talk Formula One stuff, let's do reviews, because it's always nice when people say nice things. And it's been a strong start, seeing as we've had however many tens that was. We got one review to go through today. Only one, but then it's better than none, isn't it? And this review, it's almost like they'd heard this episode already, because Win 47 in the US titled it consistently amusing. And to be fair, that intro, Nate, was consistently amusing. So very well played.
Best intro I've done.
Easy. Although also then clearly didn't preempt it, because it says, sometimes they talk about F1 and sometimes they talk about other things like Santa museums.
I feel like a few people messaged me like, oh, how was the Santa museum? And I was like, oh, didn't actually go. Because we just went back a different way and it wouldn't have made sense. And there was beer at the other one, you know. Shiner, I'm actually wearing the shirt. Shiner Brewery. Very, very good. Shiner is in the town of Shiner in Texas, which is fantastic, and I would recommend if anyone goes to Texas to go there. It's near Lockhart, which is also the home of the best barbecue in Texas. And when me, Meadows, and Lawrence Edmondson went there, we had chicken wings. so that's how that works.
And what was the name of the place before I continue with the review?
It was called Load Off Fanny's.
Indeed, it was Load Off.
Load offs, like take a load off. And I think the woman who owned it was called Fanny. Probably not amusing to our American listeners, but very funny if you're not from America.
Indeed.
So Fanny, do you want to explain why that's funny, Lazar, or should we leave it there?
I think we'll leave it there.
Okay, well, we'll let people Google that. Don't do it on a work computer. Do it on your own computer, incognito mode, if you share the laptop.
To be fair, if you're in Texas and you Google load off Fanny, you'll probably get the chicken wing place we went to.
And to be fair, it was a fantastic place. Like, that was one of the best little places I've been to. It was really, really nice. Very, very friendly people.
It was excellent. Now, getting back to the review from Win 47, it says, regardless of whatever topic they're discussing, brackets from me, like load off Fanny, these guys are fun to listen to, and this podcast always puts me in a good mood. I enjoy the perspectives they bring in as actual F1 journalists. Paddock, love Paddock.
Which one's he listening to?
Finals. Yeah, I don't know. That's the bit that confuses me.
Cool.
But
that's why I do it, because I talk to you two, and you two are actual F1 journalists.
Nah.
And I'm just the jokes guy. No, but
original content.
If people were checking our Twitter out, though, we have a picture of the three of us, don't we? In the paddock, in the flesh.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
It's good fun. We haven't had one without our masks on yet, because because we respect the rules, but B, because we haven't been to the paddock since we've done this, and those rules have gone. So that's the next step, right?
That'll be a big, big moment.
It will. If we didn't do this, I'd have forgotten what you guys look like, honestly.
Is that a good thing?
No. Lawrence, you're radiating beauty.
I don't do very well at compliments, so I don't know.
You've like started sweating, and you look like you want to quit.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I was sweating in Texas. Blimey, was it hot?
It was warm, wasn't it? But how good was it to be back? And how amazing was that crowd and that race? I thought it was one of the best events I've ever been to.
It was so good that, there were some brilliant performances in there. And I'm really excited to hear how they ranked according to Nate Sauner's 60-second review.
Well, we'll see.
Hello, welcome to the United States Grand Prix Review with me, Nate Saunders, land of the free, home of the brave, residence of the review. Let's go. First position, Max Verstappen, more delectable than a Stroop waffle this weekend. Absolutely fantastic. Lewis Hamilton in second, more like Bewis Hamilton. Those American fans aren't too keen on you, Lewis, I don't think. Sergio Perez, the most popular 42-second gap in the world. Fourth position, Charles Leclerc. Let's just make the podium four spots, just for Charles, just for one race. I feel like he lives there. Danny Rick or Dale Earnhardt, is it, in fifth position? Mr. Texas himself, although the accent isn't great, Dan, you need to work on that. Valtteri Bottas in sixth, Sainz in seventh, ahead of a sad Lando Norris. Yuki Tsunoda in ninth, Sebastian Vettel told the fans to clean up garbage, then he cleaned up a bit himself with that performance. Giovinazzi 11th, Stroll 12th, Kimi was 13th, Russell Latifi, Schumacher Mazepin, Alonso definitely retired the car for good reason, Ocon also retired the car, and Gasly, we love Gasly, but what's going on?
Someone doesn't love Gasly. So full disclosure there, I messed my timing up. And the reason I rushed through it was because I was getting close to the minute mark, forgetting that I always spend 10 seconds teeing up the review, which is when the review starts. It always starts at 10 seconds. So I kind of, I think we still covered a lot of good ground. A lot of good ground was covered. I just didn't mention the points guys very much.
Now, the biggest disappointment.
Thoughts and notes?
Huge disappointment because Martin Perry on Twitter got in touch with you directly and CC'd us all.
I saw this
and the paddock saying, if you don't wrap your 60-second review, you've failed.
Now, so
you have failed.
I will, full disclosure here, I usually do those in one take. I didn't this week because one of them I attempted to wrap and I got about two in and I was like, this is probably the most offensive thing I've ever done in my life, just to the genre, rapping isn't my thing. So I then stopped it and did a normal one. So at some point I will share that for an off-season episode. Not now.
Why not now?
Because we've had too much good content in this episode.
Yeah, that's true. We've had some real shock.
I need to listen to it again as well because it was so bad. Like nothing like offensive in there. Just I don't know whether I want people to hear it or not. Because it was just generally like people might be rap fans, they might just be music fans, and they might not ever want to listen to anything ever again.
Other than you.
And also, I think it's been quite a strong episode. You know, I've got a 10 out of 10. I don't want to ruin people's opinion of me by being like, that guy can't rap.
You can't count.
Yeah, it's true. Review. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I'm going downhill. I'm trending downwards at this point. It was funny. A friend messaged me as well and said, are you going to rap the review? So I did bow to pressure. I just realized doing it that I'm not very good.
Well,
someone who didn't have
trying.
A rap. Yeah, I know. Someone, if Megan Thee Stallion had rapped on the grid, I would definitely have done one. But she didn't.
So you're blaming it on her?
No, I'm just blaming it on the, yes, okay, fine. <I am. laughs> Well, that's the main talking point from the race, right?
She's coming in for a lot of stick. Which I think is kind of unfair.
Very unfair. I thought she was really nice to, like, she like waved at Martin and clearly wanted to talk. It was the two lackeys she had with her, the big guy and the guy that looked like Draco Malfoy.
Yeah.
Well, she pushed the big guy, didn't she, for like trying to interrupt or like, you know, kind of said it was okay and kind of like slapped him on the back jokingly to be like, you know, don't be so heavy handed with this guy. But then I think Brundle was a bit flustered and did ask her to rap, which understandably is not really the greatest. I mean, can you imagine if it was an F1 driver went to one of her gigs and they went, hey, Lewis Hamilton, great to have you here. Would you drive a car for us? And there's no car there. Like,
well, it's like
that's
when
that's not what they're there to do.
Well, it's like when, as an example, like sometimes when I tell people I'm learning Italian, I'll be like, go on then, speak a bit of Italian. You're like, well, what? Like, I can't just perform on cue. Secondly, I'm not, my Italian is not that good. But it's kind of like that, isn't it? When I thought the question was really funny, like Brundle went through all of that to get her to talk, and then he asks her, have you got a rap prepared for Formula One? And she just was like, I don't have a rap. I don't get why people are so upset about it.
No, I don't get why people are upset about it either. And like you were saying, Medis, I think you do get flustered in that situation. If you've just been told not to by security and there's other security around, you're not thinking about what you're going to say next. So I do feel quite bad for him. But then he got a little good line in right at the end, didn't he, when Draco Malfoy pushed him out the way and he said, yep. Did he say something like, you can't talk to anyone? He was like, I think I just did.
He was like,
you can't do that. Yeah, he said, okay. He said to him, you can't do that. And he was like, well, I can because I did. So.
But also, that going that way is better than any other interview he would have done with her in terms of like the amount of exposure. If it was just him and he said, who are you supporting? And she said, I'm here for Lewis, or she was there with Red Bull, so she might be like, I want Max to win. Like that wouldn't have gone viral. People were like, okay, Megan Thee Stallion, like, she was on the grid, whatever. But that, like, TMZ reported on that. Like, Martin Brundle's never getting in TMZ again. Like, people at TMZ, I was surprised they didn't even put, like, they just put Martin Brundle. Like, they would know who that is, in the headline. So I thought it was fantastic. And people get so worked up about it. It's funny.
Yeah, and the fact was, as well, it was the bodyguards that were maybe a bit, like, OTT. Yeah. But she was fine, because I saw some people taking his tweet where he said about respect and manners. But he was aiming that at the bodyguards as well.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, even he'd appreciate that it works both ways. If she's come into the F1 world, and she's got more followers than Lewis Hamilton, don't forget. Like, this is a, platinum-selling artist. Like, she's a massive deal, just not in the world of F1, she's not. So it's on say like Brundle to know enough to ask her a question, or to at least, you know, show that respect directly to her as well and be like, wow, you're a big deal, thanks for coming, what are you doing here type thing. It's not all on the person coming to F1 to know everything about F1. You kind of, it goes both ways. So yeah, I think they were like, the actual interaction between the two of them was kind of funny and fine. It was just the bodyguard issue, but like you say, it worked well. Like it banged.
I think F1 needs to ride this, like this wave now. Just make the three of them like the race steward for the next event, you know, have it so that's live streamed and Martin Brundle has to go and interview them about every decision they make. How good would that be? Laza, get it done.
I don't think I quite have the power to do that.
You do. But... you talk to Stefano every morning. You've told us this before. He calls you and says, Lawrence, what are we doing today? And you say, well, Stefano, here's my list. So, yeah.
Not quite reality, but yeah.
He said it's close, basically. That's what he's saying there. It's maybe not every morning.
Basically means it's every other morning, doesn't it, Laz?
Yeah, or not weekends. Day off.
Yeah, that's true. Stefano is, yeah, you're both busy men. You can't call each other every morning. Would you, hypothetically speaking, next time you see Stefano, will you tell him one of those jokes I told you at the start?
Oh no, I've done silly things like this before. I can't agree to that, can I? No.
That's fair. I feel like wait until the Nürburgring comes back on the calendar. And you've got yourself a ready-made joke for Stefano.
I'm definitely going to use both of those jokes myself.
Good. Good. I encourage it. And I would actively encourage other people listening to just talk in those jokes from now on.
If the scenario presents itself, then potentially I will.
Okay. That's all I needed. It's better than a yes.
No promises.
My fingers are crossed.
But yeah, how good was the USGP?
The atmosphere was incredible. I don't think I've been to a bigger sporting event in terms of number of people. You boys probably have, but that's like the big in terms of number of people. It was incredible.
Indy 500 was bigger, but that felt like it's Indy 500. So we can only have one per publication on the grid. So Lawrence Edmondson went, but before I went round to where Ricardo had the Dale Earnhardt car before he went out on track and just listened for like 5 minutes. It was unbelievable, even there, like even not being on the grid. Like that noise was like, I've not heard any noise like that at an F1 race ever. Indianapolis, it was close to that. Like that was just all those people in one place. It felt pretty special, didn't it? Pretty game changing.
It feels like F1's starting to crack America. Like I feel like the fans there were knowledgeable about Formula One. The ones that I spoke to genuinely had, you know, identified with a driver, with a team, and they were there because they love F1, maybe not just to go to an event or just to go because they love motorsport. They wanted to follow, they do follow Formula One. And that was the first time I've really ever felt that, I think, at least in the time that I've covered F1.
So I feel like that was kind of always there. It was just in smaller numbers. Like you can see it in
in the sheer numbers of it. Like,
So you had probably what, I think it was 200 and something in 2019. And they were all still knowledgeable and proper F1 fans, but they were kind of almost the minority or a smaller proportion. And then having had a year off and like the growth of interest and stuff and having a proper title battle and all that stuff, I think it really cracked it. And the way I kind of looked at it was, it seems to like resonate with the US audience properly this time. You didn't have to be like someone who was going against the grain to be an F1 fan anymore. It's become popular in mainstream US sporting culture because of, you know, let's say it mainly Drive to Survive, I think. That certainly put it on the popular culture map. And from there, then you just get, like we're talking about Megan Thee Stallion and stuff. That's, you've got huge celebrities coming because they know there's a big event on that they want to be part of and they're a little bit more aware of it. So even if they don't actually care about the race or F1, they realize that it's a big deal, this event that's happening in their country. And then if they go, more people see the event and they're like, what's that they've been at? Maybe I want to go sometime. And you know, if it's good enough for a celebrity, it's good enough for me. So yeah, I really think there was a proper kind of like boom between even 2019 and now that I think Nate, you wrote about it or tweeted about it when you put a feature up that like that feels like it's only going to get bigger as well. It's not like that'd be a one-off. That feels like that was a proper big step. I know it wasn't smooth for everyone in Austin. I think there's some trouble with shuttles and water running out in the heat and stuff like that. When you've got that many people, I'm sure you always get issues anyway, but it does sound like there's some things to fix for next time in terms of prep. But I think you know, looking at what they put on for the fans, the amount of different fan zones and events and entertainment, it was proper. So I think a lot of people are going to be back, and it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, and fair play to COTA as well, because you know that circuit a few years ago, we weren't sure whether it was going to stay on the schedule. You know, it looked very unlikely. You know, around like 2017, 18, I remember people saying like this could be the last race, and it would have been such a shame if it had dropped off. But Meadows and I, we both spoke to Bobby Epstein, the boss of COTA. And it was quite interesting what he said. He said the first 2 years of your race, you're pretty much guaranteed a sellout. He was kind of giving advice almost to Miami. But he said it's year three to like five and six, where you're in that kind of danger point because the novelty of you being a new race is worn off. And you've got to justify people coming to your event over. And when COTA was joining, that was 19 other races. Miami's got 23 other or 22 others to contend with. It'll probably be 24 others to contend with. So that's going to be quite interesting how that goes forward. But COTA seems to have really established itself as like one of the races to go to. And I think that's really good because it's such a great venue to go to. Austin's a great city. Austin is like, it felt like it like doubled in size since we were there in 2019. There were so many new buildings and stuff. And it's becoming a real tech hub as well in the US. So like Austin seems like a perfect place for there to be a race. And now we're talking about Vegas as well, which is nuts. Like the idea of there being two races is crazy. It's first time since 1984 they've had two US races in 1 year in F1, which is kind of nuts. So it's pretty exciting. Miami's going to be wild as well next year. But I feel sorry for anyone buying. The tickets look a little bit steep from what I saw going around today. But again, I suppose that is the price of, you know, trying to establish yourself as a new race. You've got to justify the spend of it, I guess.
Well, I think Austin was pretty similar prices because I spoke to Pato O'Ward on Monday at Barber when I went there for Hülkenberg's IndyCar test, and he was saying he had, I think, family members that bought grandstand tickets at $4,000 a go. Wow. And they were resale, but so they'd been like about two and they were paying nearly double to get them. One, it showed the amount of interest, but two, it was the fact that you had people that were paying that from the outset. So I think they're the sort of numbers that we're seeing from Miami as well, and they know the demand's there, so people are going to pay it. But yeah, it was huge. It was so much fun as well in like the paddock. The paddock was a lot more open, wasn't it? Like busier. We got to shoot some hoops thanks to the NBA, which is good. Barreto, how did you get on?
Well,
did you
hang on,
nail your technique?
Thanks to the NBA and ESPN.
I can't give you another plug.
A joint venture.
You've had a lot of love today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have. ESPN, I feel like, needs some. So
the look on Nate's face when you didn't mention ESPN.
I'm a company man. I'm a company man. It's all about ESPN. Sorry, Laz. You were just asked a very sensible and reasonable question. I just jumped in with some corporate nonsense.
So I used to have a basketball hoop in my garden when I was a kid. But I haven't played for about 15 years. So in my head, I remember myself being quite good. Turns out 15 years does make you worse.
See, that's a lie, listeners, because just before he shot a hoop, Lawrence turned to me and he whispered, "This is going to be my last dance, Nate." And then he absolutely nailed a three and he walked off to some music that was from The Last Dance, which he just had randomly playing out of a jukebox in his on his person. I'm not making that up. Isn't that what happened, Laz?
Word from one of the fans on the balcony over the pit lane just threw some confetti down and walked out.
Yeah.
And I think Fom just luckily had someone with a real good slow-mo camera of him kind of wiping a tear as he walked.
Yeah. And he had the flu as well. He'd eaten a pizza and he had food poisoning, but he still did it, like Michael Jordan. Still did it. Incredible.
Got to get it done.
Michael Jordan, who was nearly there.
Yeah.
Nearly there.
He was meant to be there and then he wasn't feeling great. And yeah, everyone's being sensible, actually. It's quite good to hear that just because people are massive superstar celebrities, they're not like, well, it doesn't matter if I'm not feeling great, I'll still go. They were like, no, better not. So sadly, his pass went unused. But yeah, that was hype.
Yeah, it was. And Chris Bosh was there, though, former teammate of LeBron. And one of the coolest parts of the weekend I thought I'd share, because I was right next to it as it happened, was right by that court, Chris Bosh was, you know, was playing with some of the teams as they went. And then he and Lewis Hamilton kind of met in the paddock and had this long, long chat. And Chris Bosh ran back to kind of where that NBA setup was, got his book, wrote a message in it and gave it to Lewis. And it was just, and they'd been interacting with every driver the whole time. But it was just another reminder of like, to me, you were right that it felt like F1 had arrived in America. But like it almost hammers home that Lewis Hamilton arrived in America like 5-6 years ago. And F1 is almost catching up with him, which I think is pretty amazing. And now you've got this big global superstar. You've got guys like Ricciardo and Verstappen becoming big names in America. you know, there's loads more as well. So it felt like, yeah, it just was kind of a reminder that, like, while F1 is getting hyped about America, like, people have been hyped about Lewis in America for a long time, especially a lot of big time stars. So that was always really cool to see. And Chris Bosch is a huge fan. I didn't realize that until that weekend, and then he gave an interview. So there's a lot of big name stars who are super into it at the moment.
It was cool to see Shaq driving that Longhorns car as well.
That was great. The Shaq visual on the podium is one of the best things I've ever seen. It was just it's crazy how tall that guy is, and how, like, F1 drivers, like, we know, don't we, because we talk to them, they're not that tall. Like, I'm 5'8". I'd say I'm taller than most of the drivers, or at least the same height as most. And, like, a tall driver, quote unquote, is like Ocon, but I think he's 5'10 or 5'11. He's not 6 foot, is he, Ocon? Or have I made that up? I'm pretty sure he's under 6 foot, and he's the tallest driver. So, like, and he's considered, like, oh my God, like, he's such a tall guy for F1 terms. And then you've got Shaq, who's pushing 7 feet, and he's taller than the guy stood on the podium steps.
I was looking up Ocon's height, but I can't find it.
I thought that was it. I thought, like, oh, Nate's so, really just trended so far downhill.
He's 1.1 meter 86, which I'm not sure what that is in feet.
Oh yeah.
Tell you right now. It is. He's 6'1", Nate.
There you go.
Oh. Well, mate, okay. Well, you know, whatever. I got Moving a 10 out of 10. I got a 10 out of 10 at the start of the episode, so
nothing will ruin your day.
Come at me.
Something else I know Nate was enjoying, but I'm at Bretta. I don't know if you got to do anything around this, but was Danny Ric's NASCAR run. Well, actually, pretty much anything Danny Ric did this weekend got a lot of attention. But yeah, the NASCAR run was damn cool. I think you got to interview him after the race and talk about it, maybe?
I talked to him about it now beforehand on Thursday. So I didn't get to talk to him afterwards, but he was in a giddy mood all weekend. I did an FP2 interview. And we just had a massive shunt, and he just burst out laughing. So and then couldn't stop laughing. So sorry to all the broadcasters out there when you were looking for a nice 20-second clip about his day, because it was mainly just him laughing. Then he kept shunting. So yeah, one day I'll release that footage.
I'll do it. See, I regretted not having a camera, so I spoke to him. McLaren very kindly let me chat to him on the walk from the SkyPad to, he was playing some basketball. And I just was like, I want to get some background, some color for this piece, for this run tomorrow. And I said something like, you know, oh, how aware were you of Dale Earnhardt? Because, you know, in the UK, we didn't get a huge amount of NASCAR. And I said, I think I said something like, the first time I really got familiar with him was when he's in Basketball, the movie, which is made by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the South Park guys. And I said that, and genuinely for the next minute was just Danny Ric just doing impressions from that film. So like, there's a bit where someone throws a ball at a kid and goes, think fast, kid, and the ball just hits him straight in the face. And like, he kept doing that to Blake, you know, one of the guys in his team. And Dale Earnhardt's line in it, he's a cab driver just driving really slowly, and they're like, excuse me, sir, can you go faster? And he turns around and goes, can I go faster? Puts his NASCAR helmet on and just absolutely floors it. And Ricardo kept doing that, and I was like, this would be incredible social content.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have recording equipment with me. But you're right. He was so hyped about that thing. And it was kind of cool when you saw the run on the screens. You could actually see, like, him. We never see the driver's faces when they're driving. You could just see this big, like, toothy grin in the car as he was going around, which I thought was super cool, because I imagine if any of us ever drove an F1 car or something like that, we'd have the same kind of feeling.
Messaged him that, didn't he? He said he got back to the driver room afterwards, and he had a text from Max being like, look, with a screenshot and saying, look like you enjoyed yourself. So it was very cool. Zach flew that car out from the UK. Like, that was that would not have been cheap to get there. But I thought what was cool about that was, A, Zach's commitment to fulfilling the promise in a good way rather than just go and run it around Snetterton. And B, like, F1 being open to, okay, yeah, you can demo this at our big event because it's in front of a load of fans and it's going to resonate with them. So that's also another reason, I think, when we talk about cracking America, like, I know Bernie built a hell of a big sport, but
that never would have
absolutely happened. No way. Yeah. No, he wouldn't have let that happen at all.
And you're so right there, because, like, doing cool stuff is the way to engage fans, you know. And I know that there are things that, you know, sometimes, like, this brand doesn't go with this brand and stuff like that, but it's like, come on, fans do not care about that stuff. If you put good content out, they will consume it and they'll say, this is amazing. And I think that got, I mean, you know, Dale Earnhardt himself, Dale Earnhardt Jr., sorry, you know, said, I can't remember what the tweet was exactly, but it kind of choked Ricardo up at the time, like when it was read to him. So it had such exposure. And you're right, if F1 had just said that's not happening, you miss this great moment. To, and again, you're promoting the race again. So,
speaking of cool stuff then, Lawrence Barreto, what is the coolest thing you did this weekend in Austin?
Are you thinking of something? Or
no.
Do I just need to just come up with it?
Genuinely interested to know
spot?
What was cool.
Are you putting me under pressure? Can you guys go first, please?
Well, I mean, the basketball was cool.
I could answer. I would say chatting to doing the walk along with Danny Rick was pretty cool because it was just a different kind of interview. And then race day was incredible. But coolest part of it was just talking to drivers again like that in the paddock. Missed that a lot.
I got Danny Rick to do his whole interview on one day on Thursday in his American accent.
Which, as I mentioned in the review, not the best.
Which I thought was harsh. I thought it was, I can't do a Texan accent. I thought it was decent. Attempt.
Yeah, I respect, like, I think after doing it on the driver's parade, he was like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like, you know, he obviously knows that it's silly, but just me being an absolute bore there.
He loves it, doesn't he? I think I saw someone from Racer did share it on their Facebook, I think, and a bunch of their replies were like, yeah, it's a good effort, but it's a little too, I don't know if it was Georgian or something like that, but they said, yeah, different state, so it needs to work a bit on it, but it's close. But also, you talk about, like, yeah, accents and things. So we had a tweet as well from someone who picked up on our last episode when Nate, we talked about Seguin and the pecan, and apparently we got that all wrong. So this guy Eric Burkholder tweeted us saying, "Boys, native Texan here. It's Seguin.
Oh,
love your show. So thanks for loving the show. Sorry for us not being able to pronounce Seguin, but that's Seguin. Never have got.
No, not me. The spelling of that. I mean, us English can't complain about words not matching the spelling because we literally just pronounce words however we want. Yeah, but no, that's good to know. Seguin.
We saw a lot of Texas, didn't we, this week, actually? Probably more than Barreto, sadly, who saw a lot of your hotel room, I guess. Did you get to go out at all, Barreto?
I went for some exercise. So I got to see the city, at least.
I did a track run on Thursday that I'm pretty sure nearly killed me. It was so hot, and I got to the back straight when the sun was just over the grandstand in front of me. And it was, I'm not going to lie, chaps, I didn't think I was ever going to do another podcast again. I was like, this is me done. And then I thought, must tell that joke. So I dragged myself around. So it could be a 10. And that got me through. That got me through the run.
Oh, can you imagine a world without that joke, Nate?
I mean, it's hard to imagine now, isn't it? Like, the world has changed. I feel like people who listen to this podcast they'll redefine their times. They'll be like, forget AD and BC. The starting point of time will be when they heard that joke or that with a sequence of jokes. I mean, you know, we can come up with an acronym for it, but I'm all for that.
Amazing, isn't it, that within a few days, F1 cracked America and Nate cracked comedy.
Feels like the two are linked. That's all I'm going to say. What's the common denominator in both of those things? Me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Me.
I'm looking forward to your joke next time, Nate, because you're under significant pressure the way you've talked about it in this one.
Yeah, I need to write some new ones. But if I can't write a good one, then I'm just going to have to admit that I'm only good at that stuff when I'm on a plane.
And when are you next likely to be on a plane?
Oh, I don't know. It could be a long, long time. Could be.
Sorry, listeners.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, we saw a lot of Texas. Staying down in Gonzales, which was an interesting place.
Yeah, it was interesting. Very, Lawrence Edmondson called it like the town looked like the Back to the Future town. That's just like had a nice little square and pretty, you know, some pretty old school. There was like an old cinema there, which was really cool. Very picturesque.
Yeah, it was actually. It was cool. It was, we went all the Friday night down there. That's when we did load off fannies on the way down. And then we went to, a bar. This is after working, so it was late. But we went to the Come and Take It bar, and that was just as the Astros won to get into the World Series, so people were happy. And then we left there and went to a saloon bar that I can't remember the name of, but they had some really cool live blues on. So
yeah, it was
sat outside in this like spit and sawdust yard with a wooden stage and these dudes playing some really cool blues again in Astros gear. But that's where this job, you're a bit like, you never would end up here without doing the job we do or having to stay miles away.
It was very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, so sorry, Beretta, if you didn't get out.
That's all right. I'm just going to live vicariously through you.
Well, you can continue to do that, but you had probably as good a vantage point as any on the actual race part on track when Max held off Lewis.
Oh, so we are going to talk some Formula One. There you go. Dear listeners, you are going to get some Formula One.
Yeah, I feel like we had to at some point, because this is meant to be a Formula One podcast.
It was good, right?
It was absorbing. I think if you weren't watching it live, you might think, oh well, there was no overtaking, there's no passing in terms of vying for the lead once Max got back ahead at the pit stops. But I thought it was thoroughly entertaining because you just didn't know whether Lewis was going to be able to catch him right at the end. I did feel coming into the weekend that if Lewis didn't win this race, where Mercedes have been so strong in the past, he might struggle now in the title running, especially as the next two circuits are Red Bull circuits. So I think that was a bit of a hammer blow for Max that he was able to do just enough to beat Lewis there. But it's just another race this year that's been exciting for just a slightly different reason. Even if it didn't have a ton of, say, actual action, I still think there was enough there to be excited about.
Yeah, plenty. It was like properly like tense, and I think at different times in that race you're like, oh, like Lewis is gonna win, Max is gonna win, then Lewis is definitely gonna win again, then Max, I think it was four laps to go, he pulled out a lap that was a little bit quicker, 0.2 quicker than Lewis, who'd been just catching, and you're like, oh, maybe Max will do it. Yeah, and I think that was also another like really, and there was some great racing between the McLarens and Ferraris and stuff, mm-hmm. and Alonso like biffing Raikkonen off the track and getting annoyed, but there was enough going on that was a really good watch as well, that I think it's not just about what a great event it was off the track and 400,000 people were there, but they got a boar fest. They got a really like exciting thing to watch, especially when it goes down to the last couple of laps and you see that build up. You know, everyone remembers then, like if they're a Verstappen fan or a Hamilton fan, they'll have been so nervous and tense for those final 10 laps that they'll have felt they'll look at a proper sporting event as well. So I think it all just came together beautifully, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was nice as well because everyone was like, they're gonna crash at turn one. That was like, and the fact they didn't, it's kind of a reminder, like, you know, those two incidents were obviously dramatic, but these are two of the best drivers in the world, if not the two best drivers in the world right now. And, you know, they are capable of racing cleanly. And I thought that, to me, Max has looked great all year, but to me, that was like, I was like, this dude is like world champion, like, in the, like, it, you know, if he doesn't win it this year, I think clearly he'll win one at some point. But that to me was like him putting his like flag in the ground and saying, you know, this is my championship this year. And it's up to Hamilton and Mercedes to fight back. And the next two races, I don't think they're going to be able to do that very much. We'll see. But yeah, it was such an impressive performance from him, because there's been a lot of occasions this year when Max could have cracked under pressure and he really hasn't done that. You know, you've got Lewis chasing you down. I mean, Seb Vettel in Germany in 2018 obviously knew Hamilton was, you know, I think he had in his ear like Hamilton's 14 seconds, 12 seconds, 10 seconds, 8 seconds, and he just spins out, completely unforced error, one of the big moments of that championship. Verstappen had Lewis in his mirrors, like you said, and was just fantastic. So that part of it, the fact that the US could see an actual good race, and it wasn't just these two guys crashed again, it's all dramatic, it's like NASCAR, you know, it's all about the drama. I thought that was, it kind of, like you said, it fit the occasion perfectly. So that was awesome.
It's probably Max's most mature performance. I think it's shown that he's starting to think with an experienced head on. Well, obviously he's got more experience, but you know, when he lost the lead to Lewis, he could have, they, like you said, Nate, they could have got a bit closer, but Max at least probably conceded that it was the longer game to play, and he had a better car and better package. And I think that's a massive lesson that he's learned, and that could be the turning point in this championship, I think.
Yeah, the Max of even like March of this year, I don't think would have come into that corner, or would have come out of that corner in the race still. I think they would have collided. I think he's learned the hard way. And it's good to see him doing that, because that's how he's going to win the title.
Well, it's the same way that Lewis had to learn the hard way as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Those really difficult years just after his first title. We sometimes forget, what, it's 10, 15 years between them. So
So similar in that sense. Like, they're both so talented. Everyone, the moment they walked in the paddock, like, that guy's going to win so much. And then they've had these things, and people are frustrated because you're like, you're so good, but you've got this like raw talent that is unpolished. And then they keep getting better, and you're like, oh my god, this guy, it, like, Max still is going to get better than this level right now, which is kind of, which is crazy, because he's, you know, those two are in a different world to the rest at the weekend.
Well, it's mad. So Max is now the 17th most successful Formula One driver in history in terms of race wins.
Wow. Yeah,
so like comfortably in the top 20, and he'll be, what does he need to be top 10? He needs 7 more wins to be in the top 10. So he's 6 wins behind Fangio, and 5 behind Rosberg, 4 behind Damon Hill, 3 behind Kimi.
Wow.
2 behind Mika Häkkinen. So, like, I mean, these are people that, you know, won titles or multiple mm-hmm. titles, like, and he hasn't got one yet, which is, that would be the weird thing, I think, if he doesn't get it this year off the back of this. But I think everyone will appreciate, which is something that hasn't always been the case, but everyone will appreciate what a great job Lewis will have done if he manages to win this year's title yeah. as well. So whoever takes it is going to be, I mean, there's absolutely no doubting that they're going to be deserving of it because sure. of the fight each has put up. You're not going to get a bad winner here, and you're going to get a loser who probably can feel kind of hard done by. So yeah, it's been epic. Looking forward to what comes next.
And on that note, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us, chaps. And thanks to everyone who is listening as well. Please remember to hit the subscribe button and follow us on our social channels. You can read Chris's work on racer.com, Nate's work on ESPN.com, and my work on F1.com. Let's do this again sometime.
Bye.